Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping families love their homes again. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, October 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. Dara Eskridge remembers exactly where she was and what she was doing when she first saw her write-up as one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential Rising Stars.
I was in my kitchen with my son, getting he and my daughter ready for school, and I actually screamed.
We'll hear more from the CEO of Invest STL on receiving this honor and the work her organization is doing. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A former St. Louis Sheriff's Office employee is suing Sheriff Alfred Montgomery. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, the former worker alleges Montgomery slandered her and illegally fired her.
Tashana Sias says she was fired for testifying in the Missouri Attorney General's attempt to remove Montgomery from office earlier this year. She also alleges that she was fired without being able to present evidence in her defense. Montgomery was federally indicted for witness retaliation. The sheriff's office said a worker was fired for shredding documents she wasn't supposed to, something Sias denies. She's asking for more than $25,000 plus back pay, front pay, punitive damages, and reinstatement. She's also asking for assurances against future retaliation from the city and sheriff. Montgomery was sent to jail last week for violating his bond. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Attorneys for St. Louis County Executive Sam Page want a judge to dismiss criminal charges against the Democratic official. At issue is a mailer his office sent out about Proposition B. That was a failed countywide initiative that would have allowed the St. Louis County Council to fire his department heads. Former Attorney General Andrew Bailey pursued two misdemeanor election offenses and two counts of felony theft by deceit over the spending of county money. But Page's attorneys say the indictment falsely said he ignored advice from county attorneys on the wording of the mailer, and that, they say, shows that he didn't knowingly violate the law. Bailey resigned earlier this year. A spokeswoman for his successor, Catherine Hanaway, declined to comment on this pending litigation. The latest round of negotiations between Boeing and the St. Louis Machinists Union ended yesterday with no settlement. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell is following this.
St. Louis Boeing workers will continue the strike that has stretched 12 weeks after negotiation meetings with a mediator once again failed. This was the third consecutive day that the two parties met following an unfair labor practice complaint from the union. Boeing presented union leadership with a modified contract that added stock shares and gave top-paid employees a slight wage increase. To fund this, the contract decreased attendance additives. It also did not make any changes to the 401k plan, which is one of members' chief concerns. Union leadership refused to bring this contract to the members for a vote. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Also Wednesday, union member Josh Arnold testified before a U.S. Senate committee that many striking union members, who are receiving $300 per week in strike pay, are struggling to afford expenses. That includes $2,500 a month for health insurance. The chair of St. Louis's budget committee says the city will have to tap into the Rams settlement money to speed up recovery from the May 16th tornado. STLPR's Rachel Lippman has more from Rasheen Aldridge's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Aldridge represents the 14th Ward, which stretches along the city's east side from downtown to O'Fallon Park. It was the last place in the city hit by the storm before it crossed into Illinois. Aldridge led the effort to direct $30 million of interest from the settlement toward things like housing, building stabilization, and support for nonprofits. He says the next phase will require drawing from the principal of about $300 million.
And it's going to be a different conversation of past Rams Bill debates that have happened. I think there's going to have to be a big focus on investing those dollars into North St. Louis.
Aldridge says he'd like to see those funds help people who lost their homes rebuild on their property. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Rachel spoke with the aldermen from each of the wards in the city hit by the tornado about the recovery efforts. You can find more from those conversations at stlpr.org. A report from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis says food pantry use has been rising in recent months. The Fed's Beige Book forecasts a slightly pessimistic economic outlook for the region, pointing to many indicators, and among them was an increased use of food pantries. Erica Kincaid, a spokesperson with the St. Louis Area Food Bank, says demand for food assistance has been rising for months.
Most people that use the food bank, they are working households, but they're just not able to make ends meet with what's coming in.
This is as St. Louis area food distributors are bracing for a wave of need they expect will come next month. That's when the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program will be put on hold for approximately 650,000 Missourians who rely on the federally funded benefits. Earlier this week, Missouri officials said the SNAP program is temporarily suspended due to the ongoing government shutdown. It's been nearly a month since Congress has failed to pass a budget. Angela Gobble heads up the Rittner Co-Care Food Pantry in Overland, and she says thinking of how to handle the upcoming weeks has kept her up at night.
It's terrifying. I mean, let's be real. They're asking us, a food pantry, to step in and do the job that the government would normally do.
The Missouri SNAP program is completely funded through federal sources. This weekend, the Big Top in Grand Center will host the debut of an eclectic festival of ideas, music, and circus performers. STLPR's Jeremy Goodwin reports on arts organization Counter Public's production of The Circus of Life.
Counter Public cast a wide net for this free 3-day event. Its team brought in writers, musicians, artists, and performers, including the Bread and Puppet Theater. Organizers want to highlight unexpected connections among thinkers, artists, and audiences, and for attendees to leave with ideas about pushing for social change through art. Counter Public Deputy Director Kristen Fleischman Brewer.
Art has the possibility to further generational change, and we hope to challenge people's perceptions of what art can do and those possibilities.
Circus of Life ends Sunday with a parade from the Big Top to Counter Public's new offices nearby for a meal and open discussion. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Dara Eskridge recently got a big surprise when the CEO of InvestSTL was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential Rising Stars. Eskridge spoke with St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Cha about her organization's work to help rebuild North St. Louis and how she found out about this honor.
We received just kind of like a very out of the blue message from them a couple of months ago, generally just inquiring about work happening. And so I didn't think much of it. And then an email came like a few months later and said, hey, you're being honored in this way. And I was sitting in my office and had two of my team members around me, and I was stunned and didn't know what to say. And then a few days later, when it was published, when I saw the write-up, I was in my kitchen with my son getting he and my daughter ready for school, and I actually screamed. which, you know, scared the daylight out of my son until he understood what it was. So,
when Time Magazine and other folks call you, you know, influential rising star, what does that mean to you?
Oh, there are a lot of things that run through my head. One, it's like, what? Wait, me? I'm just a kid from U City. But then I immediately start thinking about all of the incredible people that I get to do this work with and think, well, okay, what about this person and that person? Why aren't they being named to it? So I start to just absorb it as really I'm just the representative for the work right now.
So with what has happened around the May 16th tornado, has that changed your work or the priorities? What effect has that had?
That's such a great question. And so with the tornado, one, it confirms for us that the work, the mission that we adopted in 2022 is so important, right? This focus on legacy Black neighborhoods and facilitating investment to them is critical, and that can't change. And while I can see there might be some temptation for some to say, well, you know, you might need to stick around longer because this is a long recovery process. For us, again, it's about appropriate urgency. It says, well, we have, you know, 17 years left and we're going to stick to that, which means that we need to be prepared to take very big swings in these next couple of years to support not just recovery and development in these neighborhoods, but long-term resiliency within these neighborhoods. And so we have to be willing to be bold and take big risks. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't change the time frame. What we do have questions around is, does it change the kind of hyperlocal nature of our investments, right? There's a whole universe of places that we might conceivably invest in. The question on the table for us is, do we continue with that universe, or do we just say these neighborhoods in North City that were the direct path of the tornado, are these the neighborhoods that we commit to investing in for the remainder of our 17 years? Mm-hmm. So that's really where the question lies, not in the time frame.
That was Invest STL CEO Dara Eskridge speaking with STLPR's Elaine Cha. You can hear much more of their conversation, including how the evolution of Skinker Boulevard helped shape Eskridge's view of St. Louis, at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.